God moved all over youth camp and Kenya and this week Rio Grande and Vacation Bible School, and we're going to continue to see that happen. It's almost as if what we've already experienced this summer is what I'm going to preach about today, the experience of a double blessing of God's Spirit. The experience of a double blessing of God's Spirit. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to 2 Kings. We're going to be in chapter 2, if you have your Bibles or a smart device, whatever it is. And we're going to talk about two men, Elijah and Elisha. Most of you are very familiar with Elijah, and we think about Elijah. But remember, the series that I'm in the middle of is entitled Second String Saints, where we've been looking at some major league messages from some of the minor league players in Scripture. And we've already looked at Gideon, and we've talked about John the Baptist, and those that were not top tier, those that probably, if I were to ask you to list as your top 10 favorite biblical characters, or the ones you know the most, these guys wouldn't be in there. These ladies wouldn't be in there. But they have some major league messages for us today. And so we're going to see one of those, and it's this idea, Elisha, a double portion of God's blessings. Now, I want you to know there are probably, I believe there are probably, as I'm preparing for this sermon and message, there are probably a lot of people in here that you could use a double portion of God's blessings right now. My guess is there are a number of people here in this room that you have prayed for a double portion of God's blessings. Perhaps on your family or in your marriage or on your kids or in your job or on your health or someone else's health. And so I want you to know, hopefully we'll tap into that idea, and I'll give you some ideas on how to live with a double portion of God's Spirit, how to buy in. Now, before we really talk about the passage in 2 Kings, let me give you a little backstory, a little history. We're talking about the season in Israel's life where after they've entered the promised land, they went through the book of Judges that we already talked about Gideon a couple of weeks ago. And the children of Israel wanted a king. God gave them a king, Saul. That Saul king wasn't a very good king. David followed Saul, and then Solomon followed David, who was his son. And then the kingdom split into a northern and southern kingdom. The southern kingdom and its 2.5 tribes consistently stayed more and more faithful to God's message, God's worship. The northern kingdom and its 10.5 tribes were constantly unfaithful to God. As a matter of fact, if you read one king after another, you see a consistent phrase that is not an encouraging phrase. It said something like this, "And this king did more evil in the sight of God than those that preceded them. And this king also did evil in the sight of God. And this king also did evil in the sight of God." And so we're talking about the northern kingdom. And so Elijah, and you remember Elijah in Mount Carmel. Elijah shows up to Ahab and Jezebel. You remember that name Jezebel. It's always interesting. We know there are a lot of ladies and a lot of families expecting babies. It's always a beautiful thing when I get to call someone and congratulate them on their son or their daughter. I think in my 22.5 years as the pastor here, and all the phone calls and all the cards and all the words of encouragement I've written, I've never congratulated anyone on their new baby girl named Jezebel. Just hadn't happened. And this is just Jezebel we're talking about. And she and her husband, the king Ahab, did more evil in the sight of God than any of the kings before them. Now, that's saying a lot. When you consider the northern kingdom was packed with one evil king after another evil king after another evil king, and sure enough, those two, Ahab and Jezebel, did more evil in the sight of God than all of those that preceded them. And Elijah, a prophet in the northern kingdom, shows up, and he's doing everything he can to stay faithful to God and lead God's people back to the one true God and back to true worship. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, you remember the story. Elijah is just sick and tired of Ahab and Jezebel leading the children of Israel to follow the false god and to worship the Baals. And he says, listen, meet me here on Mount Carmel. and bring all the hundreds of the prophets of Baal, and it'll be just me, the prophet of the one true God. And let's have a face-off. You remember they built an altar, and the prophets of Baal, they prayed, and they cut themselves, and they danced, and they did this. And if you'll remember, go read 1 Kings chapter 18. Man, Elijah does exactly what I think is awesome. He begins to taunt them. He begins to say, hey, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's gone on a trip. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's hard of hearing. Maybe he's just old and can't do anything. And I will tell you, if you read it in the original language, at one point he says, hey, maybe your God is using the restroom. That's what it says in the Hebrew. It's not what it's going to say in your English. And he begins to mock them. And then Elijah shows up and calls down fire from heaven. And then the children of Israel repent. And they wipe out all the prophets of Baal. They tear down all of the false idols and the altars built to the wrong gods. And that's in 1 Kings chapter 18. And then in 1 Kings chapter 19, we see the mentee, the new attendant, the one that will take over for Elijah, and his name's Elisha. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah is mentioned as an attendant to Elijah. Then nothing. You go chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter, all the way through the rest of 1 Kings, and Elisha's not mentioned one time. We know he was serving. We know he was serving in the background. We know he was Elijah's faithful attendant. We know he was there, but nothing. No headlines. No glory. No nothing. And maybe you feel like you're that person today. You're that second string saint. That it seems like somebody else always gets the headlines. Somebody else always gets the high five. Someone else always gets acknowledged on stage. I want to encourage you. Stay faithful. Your day is coming. And so when we come to 2 Kings chapter 2, we've seen that Elijah has been toiling in anonymity behind Elijah. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, it's time for Elijah's ministry to be over. It's time for him to leave this earth. Everything God wanted him to do on this earth has been completed, and it's time for him to make his journey to heaven. And Elisha, who's been silent for chapters, all of a sudden shows up back on the scene in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And so he asks for something. So let's look. 2 Kings chapter 9. Chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, when they had crossed, the they was Elijah and Elisha. When they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, this is right before Elijah is about to be translated into heaven. He says, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away from you back into heaven. Elijah asked this question, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Now, Elisha replied, what you ask is a difficult thing. Now, there was absolutely nothing wrong with Elisha asking for a double portion of Elijah's blessing. And I want you to know, there is absolutely nothing wrong with you asking for a double portion of God's spirit in your life. There's nothing wrong with me asking for a double portion of God's blessing on the church and our ministry and my family. So I want you to know, if that is your prayer, God bless me, God do a miracle in my life, God expand my borders, God give me this and bless me in this way, or bless my husband, my marriage, my children, whatever. There is absolutely nothing wrong with us asking for that. As a matter of fact, the very name Elisha means God is my salvation. What is he saying? That if you are in a difficult season, a hard time, you're in a broken marriage, a broken home, a broken relationship, a broken this or a broken that, if you're just broken down, God is your salvation. And that's the message of Elijah today. There is nothing wrong with praying this, God, I need your blessing on my marriage, on my health, on my this or my that. As long as you understand that what you ask is a hard thing. What you ask is a hard thing. You say, Pastor, why is it so hard? Because there's a lot required of us if we want to journey with God in faithfulness. It's a hard thing. It's a place where there are things that we must do to stay faithful. So I want to talk to you today on this idea, how to live with a double portion of God's blessings. And maybe there are some that are here that you have been praying for God to heal your marriage or fix your kid or fix your parents or, grow your ministry or bless your business, and you want a double portion. I'm going to encourage us all to leave here today and pray for a double portion of God's blessing. But I also want you to remember that what you ask is a hard thing. Here's thought number one. If you are going to live with a double portion of God's blessing, we have to demonstrate some spiritual tenacity. We have to demonstrate some spiritual tenacity. Boy, that word tenacity means perseverance. It means determination. It means that I'm going to stick to the task. It means that I can't get my head down when things aren't looking good. In other words, I've got to hang in there. And sometimes I've got to hang in there just by my fingernails. I'm just going to have a no quit, no turn back. I am going to follow God regardless. Spiritual tenacity. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Remember, we haven't heard anything from Elijah. We haven't heard anything from Elijah since 1 Kings chapter 19. All of a sudden, 2 Kings chapter 2, we're at the end of Elijah's ministry in his life, and all of a sudden, Elijah is right there. So here's what we know. From 1 Kings chapter 19 through chapter, miracle of Elijah, applause of Elijah, headlines of Elijah, Elisha's always been there. He's learning and looking and seeing. That in and of itself is spiritual tenacity. But even listen to this. At the end of Elijah's life, Elisha is showing and demonstrating some spiritual tenacity. You say, where do you see it? Look at the passage on the screen. Notice what it says. It says, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Now here's what Elijah is at the end of his life. The next thing that's going to really happen to Elijah is going to be translated into heaven. His earthly ministry is over. So it says, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. Then they go on to Bethel. And then what happens is Elijah, I put some dot, dot, dots in there. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here in Bethel, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. And what does Elisha respond? As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went on to Jericho. And you go on and read, I would encourage you today, guess what happened in Jericho? Elijah looked at Elisha and says, stay here, for the Lord has called me on to Jordan. And his response was exactly the same. He says, listen, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. Three times Elijah said, stay here. Three times Elijah says, I'm not staying. Guess what that is? Spiritual tenacity. Now you say, why is it so important, Pastor, that I show some spiritual tenacity? If you're going to live with a double portion of God's blessings, you can't stop. You have to go all the way with God. You see, had Elisha stopped in Gilgal, guess what? The miracle didn't happen in Gilgal. Had Elisha journeyed from Gilgal to Bethel, guess what? The miracle didn't happen at Bethel. Had Elisha been willing to journey all the way to Jericho, guess what? The miracle didn't happen in Jericho. Elisha had to go with Elijah all the way to the Jordan, and then he saw the miracle. Put it in our lives and in our perspectives. My fear is that there are a bunch of people, followers of God, who you are missing out on the double portion of God's blessing because you've stopped at Gilgal. Boy, you got saved, and man, you know you were saved, and I've been baptized, and that's kind of good enough. Boy, I'm not serving God. I'm not walking with God. I'm not in fellowship with God. I'm not in a life group. I'm saved. I want you to know that's Gilgal. The double portion is found at Jordan. There are some who've gone a little further down the road. You've grown in your faith. You've walked in your faith. And you've made it all the way to Bethel. You've gone to stage two. You're closer to Jordan, but you're not at Jordan. And you've grown a little bit, and you've studied God's Word, and you memorized Scripture a little bit, but you've stopped. Remember, the double portion is found at Jordan. There are others that, man, even though some of your friends have stopped back at Gilgal or others of your friends have stopped at Bethel, you've made it all the way to Jericho. Let me tell you what, Jericho was an impressive city. It was a powerful city. As a matter of fact, Jericho was a city that even to this day we sing about, right? And the walls came tumbling down. There are a bunch of people that you look back and you can see the Gilgal salvation experience in your life, and you can look back and see the growth and the spiritual growth that you had at the Bethels in your life, but you're at Jericho and you've stopped. And all you think about is the history. Boy, when God really worked in your life and God moved, and when you were a young person, and the problem is you are always looking backwards. You are never looking to Jordan. And sometimes Satan wants to drop it in your mind when you hear and see last week 26 or 27 people of our youth were baptized last Sunday morning and 30 were saved. You go, yeah, but when we were kids. Or back when we used to do church. And you're constantly focusing on what? Something in the past instead of looking forward. I'm going to challenge, I want to encourage everyone in this room, if you want to see God's double portion, go to Jordan. I don't care how long you've been in Gilgal. I don't care how long you've been in Bethel. I don't care how long you've been in Jericho. Let's go to Jordan. As a church, God is moving, and you can see His hands all over in worship and our youth and our children. It was so evident at youth camp. Don't miss out on the double portion of God's blessing by being complacent in your Jericho or your Bethel or your Gilgal. But let's make the journey. Let me address a couple of people that as I was praying through this week, what I should say at this point of the message. And God, I just felt like God told me to say a few things. There are seasons in our lives, and I want to acknowledge this, and I want you to hear that I see this and know this and acknowledge this, that there are times that we've stopped at Jericho or we've stopped at Bethel, or we've stopped at Gilgal because there's been some massive difficulty in our life. A relationship breakdown or a hardship or, man, something, a child, this or that. And I want to acknowledge those things are real and they are painful. And there are things in our lives that are painful. Remember when Jesus lost Lazarus? It says Jesus wept. And you are sitting here and maybe the Jericho that you are looking down, his walls of your marriage fell down. Or the walls of your kids have fallen down. Or the walls of your health are falling down. Or the walls of your finances are falling down. I'm going to invite you today, let's go to Jordan. Let's stop looking back and let's start looking forward. Let's stop thinking about what God could have done or should have done or would have done and start looking forward and move to Jordan. My fear is that there are some people, when you think about a double portion of God's blessing or needing a miracle in your life, that there are some here today that you can reflect back on your season, your life, when the walls of your life came tumbling down. And you prayed that God would do a miracle, and you prayed God would give you a blessing, and you prayed this, and guess what? You still went through a divorce. or you still went through bankruptcy, or someone you loved still has cancer, and you were focusing on that one miracle, my encouragement to you today, and I feel like my encouragement to you today is don't focus so much on the one thing God hasn't done for you yet that you miss all the other miracles that God has brought into your life. I want you to hear that. Don't focus on the one thing that God didn't do for you or hasn't yet done for you so much that you miss all the other blessings and miracles that God has given you. Here's a second thought. Maybe there are some that the walls have been falling down for a long time. That you prayed, and it's been a long time, and man, it still seems like hardships are there and difficulties are there. And we always have this sense and this desire that, man, if a problem happens and the walls begin to break or they begin to tumble or they begin to crack, that I want to pray today and God fix it tomorrow. I want you to know, I'm that guy. I want to see results. I want to see things happen. And if I pray today, I want it fixed tomorrow. But I want you to know there are times in our lives where we have to wait and be faithful and show a little spiritual tenacity through the years. I mean, think historically. Remember when God showed up to Abraham, his name was Abram at the time, and God promised him that he would be a blessing to all nations. He would have an offspring that would ultimately produce the seed of David and then ultimately Jesus Christ. How many years was it from the first promise to the promised son? 25 years. Some of us here that it's been a long time, it's been a long season, it's a long wait. What about the children of Israel? They were in captivity, crying out to God for 400 years in Egypt. Now, folks, that's a long time. When they finally did make it out of Egypt, guess what? It took them another 40 years to receive the double portion of God's blessing when they went into the promised land. What about Moses? He toiled out in the desert as a shepherd for 40 years before he had the conversation with God at the burning bush. Jump to the New Testament. Remember after Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. That's where we do, and several times a year, that's where we get the scriptural mandate of parent dedication here at the church. So Mary and Joseph, they brought their child to a priest that was there, a man of God that was there. His name was Simeon. What do we know about Simeon? Simeon had served God faithfully for all of those years, but when Simeon was a young man, he had received a promise from God that, Simeon, you will not die until you see the promised Messiah. And guess what Simeon did? Just like Abraham, just like Moses, just like the children, he showed a little spiritual tenacity. Guess what he did? He showed up to church every day. Went back and back and back and back and back. How many times do you think Simeon said, Lord, remember that promise? I'm waiting. I've been looking at all these kids walking through the door, and I haven't seen the promised Messiah. Remember what Scripture says? There was an old man. So from the time of the promise to the time he was old, it doesn't tell us how old he was, but he was old enough that after he finally got the fulfillment of the promise, the blessing of holding the promised Messiah, Scripture tells us that Simeon blessed him, and then he went away and died. It was a long time. Remember Peter? Peter served Jesus Christ as a disciple for 3 years and through some difficult circumstances before he preached at Pentecost and thousands were saved. Folks, sometimes it is a long time between the promise of God's blessing and Jordan. Show some spiritual tenacity. Some are here and you're discouraged. And part of the reason you're discouraged is somebody may have come to you and in a very well-meaning or loving way, when they see your Jericho, your walls falling down, tumbling down, maybe they've said something to you like, you know, if you had enough faith, that wouldn't happen. If you had enough faith, you wouldn't have gone through the divorce. If you had enough faith, you wouldn't be sick. And I'm going to tell you, I think there are some seasons and sometimes that people say that with the best of intentions and the best heart. And maybe they've even seen that said on TV. Or they grew up being taught that way. And their hearts are good. And they say it with faith. But the reality in your life is, regardless of how much faith some people have, they still have cancer. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some people still go through divorces. Some people's kids are still prodigals. And you've gotten discouraged. And you've said, I just don't have enough faith. Now, let me tell you what. You heard me preach a couple of weeks ago that we all need to have faith in God. If you missed that, and I talked about there are some areas and things we can do to develop our faith in God. If you need that, if you understand that you are a person who lacks faith, go listen to that sermon that's online. Because Jesus said, have faith in God. But the reality of Scripture tells us this, that there are people of God and men and women of God all throughout Scripture that, listen to this, they had incredible faith in God and the walls of their life came tumbling down. How many of you remember Job? He lost everything. And he served and worshiped God. I don't know about you. Anybody ever heard of the Apostle Paul? How many of you have heard of him? Okay, that's about a third of us. I'm doing a pretty decent job after 22 years. Thanks. The Apostle Paul, if I'm putting my faith here, I'm putting his faith there. How many of you remember the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh? How many of you are sitting next to your thorn in the flesh? That's discouraging. More of you are sitting next to your thorn in the flesh than remember that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Y'all take that up over lunch. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. But remember, he prayed 3 times, asked that God would remove it. And God removed it, right? Come on, get this right, please. No! Please, everybody say no, just so I know. Okay, good, good. All right, I just want to make sure y'all are with me on this. The Apostle Paul prayed 3 times. God left the thorn. And if someone in a loving and caring and well-meaning way has ever come to you and said, listen, the reason why you got this problem because you lack faith, don't shrug it off, because that might be a word from God that you need to grow your faith. But it also sometimes can be twisted and used by Satan to discourage you from following God and blaming yourself. A double portion of God's blessings requires some spiritual tenacity. Elisha, stay here. That ain't happening. I'm moving on. Elisha, stay here. That's not happening. I'm moving on. Elisha, stay here. That's not happening. I'm moving on. Some of you, my encouragement with you, if you don't hear anything else out of this message, get out of your spiritual Gilgal. Some of you are a little further along. Get out of your spiritual Bethel. Some of you are a little further along. Get out of Jericho, because the miracles happen in Jordan, all right? double portion of God's blessing is found at Jordan for those who show and demonstrate spiritual tenacity. Remember Job? He lost everything. But if you go to the end of the book, after all the junk in his life, after the walls of his health, his finances, his family, everything gone, spiritual tenacity. And it says that Job ended up with twice as much at the end of his life as he had at the beginning. That's a double portion. So how do we live with a double portion of God's blessing? Number one, you've got to demonstrate some spiritual tenacity. Here's number two, and we're going to move through this quickly because y'all listen slowly. You have to develop a love for God's people. You have to develop a love for God's people. If you just look in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 3, if you think about it, they're walking along, and verse 3, it says, the company of the prophets of Bethel. Remember, Elijah's ministry is about over. He's going to die. It's about over. He's about to turn everything he has over to Elisha. And they come to him, the company of the prophets. Boy, don't you love it when God's people come and say the worst things at the worst times. And sometimes people say that when we are struggling. They come and said, hey, do you know that your Lord is about to die? They just show up. You got Elisha and Elijah walking along. They walked up to Elisha and said, hey, by the way, do you know he's going to die, right? What were they kind of saying? We really don't know why they were saying it, but I do know Elisha's response. His response was, stop talking about it. Why did he tell him to stop talking about it? We really don't know. One, it might be, hey, Elijah knows. Elijah might have been weeping. He was looking and excited about seeing what God was going to do. But listen, at any point, when you know your ministry, your earthly ministry, and those you love is about over, it's going to cause you to be concerned. In other words, these company of the prophets, these ones that should have been a little longer in the tooth, they were going to see, they said he's about to die. Elisha says, hey, stop talking about it in front of him. Or Elisha may have been saying, listen, don't distract me. I followed this man from 1 Kings chapter 19 through 20, through 21, through 22, through the early part of 2 Kings. I just left Gilgal and I went to Bethel and I just left Jericho and we're going to the Jordan. Don't stop me here to make me listen to your nonsense, because I'm on my way. Develop a love for God's people. Look at 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 11. Put it up on the screen, another example. He stared and fixed his eyes on Hazael, he stared at this guy, Hazael, so long that Hazael got embarrassed. You ever played the stare game? You ever done that with your kids or anything? You ever did that as a kid? Who can stare without blinking right? Hazael's sitting there looking one day at Elisha the prophet, and Elisha just looks him in the eyes. My guess is, had I been there, it'd probably been a look of disgust. And he just stared. After a while, it freaked him out. He goes, hey, dude, could you blink? It says Elisha began to cry. Why did Elisha cry? Because he knew the evil and the harm that man was going to do to the children of Israel. Why? Because to live with the double portion of God's blessings, you've got to develop a love for God's people. Here's the next thought. If you're going to live with the double portion of God's blessing, you have to be willing to use your talents and gifts to benefit others. I told you at the beginning of this message, and I'm going to tell it to you now, there is nothing wrong with praying for a double portion of God's blessings, unless, you might want to write this in your notes, all you want to do with the double portion of God's blessing is pad your own pocketbook or pat yourself on the back. See, because God blesses His people when His people are ready to use His blessings to bless others. Boy, you can just look through here. Y'all just keep up in the booth. Man, you can just look at it. Number one, Jericho, their water was great situation, great city, great town, but the water was bitter. He went out through salt in the water, and it produced incredible fruit. You go down a little further, 2 Kings chapter 4, the Shunammite woman, that she didn't, God blessed her with the child, and then that child died. And Elisha went and healed that child and gave it back to her. Then you can look a little further down in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 14. Naaman had leprosy. Naaman made the journey all the way to Elisha. It's interesting, that whole story about Naaman and his leprosy. He shows up and Elisha says, "All right, here's what I want you to do. Go wash off in the Jordan. Go read the story." Naaman's hacked off. Naaman says, "You mean I could have washed back where I was from. And we have ponds, we have streams, we have rivers. I could have done that." He says, "I wanted the man of God to do something more powerful, more special." And he gets fired up. Scripture says, the Hebrew word says, he was downright angry. You ever been angry because, quote, a man of God didn't do exactly what you wanted them to do at the right time, the right season, the right place? Your anger is directed at the wrong person. And finally, the servants, his friends, came around and said, "Naaman, how about we do this? We made the journey to see the prophet. The prophet said, go take a bath. How about we go take a bath?" Naaman goes down, takes a bath, and his leprosy goes away. I think there are a lot of people, even some, many, who are sitting here today, that there's some sinful leprosy in your life, that through a message, through a passage, through a sermon, through a devotion, God has told you to go wash that off. And you've in disobedience said no. And you've chosen to live with the leprosy. Instead of doing and confessing what God has called you to do, don't be that Naaman. Then you look a little further, there's a famine down in Gilgal. Remember where I talked about Gilgal? It's just every one of these places Elisha went back through and had one miracle after another miracle after another miracle. He had a famine. He says, "Hey, take the 20 rolls of bread that you have, feed 100 men." The guys look at him and say, "Bub, that ain't happening. I don't have enough." And there are a lot of us, boy, we hold what little we have because we don't have enough. We say, man, you know, when it comes to tithing or giving or paying for someone to go on a mission trip or going on a mission trip, we say, man, I just don't have enough for me, 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 me. Remember, you want to live in God's double portion of His blessings on your life. You use your talents, your gifts, and God's blessings in your life to bless others. Here's the last idea for the day. We must always realize that serving God is a lifelong endeavor. Serving God is a lifelong endeavor. See, we can't stop at Gilgal and salvation when we're 20. When we're 30, we can't show up in Bethel. When we're 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80, we can't show up in Jericho and say, done, good, somebody else take over. If so, you're missing the fact that the double portion of God's blessing is found at Jordan. When we serve Him until we die. I don't know how much time I have left. I don't know how much time you have left, but I do know this. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you with a double portion. And there is nothing wrong with praying for a double portion of God's blessing. If you are willing to demonstrate some spiritual tenacity, develop a love for God's people, and use whatever God blesses you with to benefit others. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day. God, thank you for the message I feel like you placed on my heart for every man and woman in this room, young man, young woman, old woman, single, married, those who are healthy, those who are sick, those whose marriages are great, those marriages are sick, those who have great kids, those who have kids that are who knows where spiritually. God, I pray that we would be people right here at Cottonwood that would pray for a double blessing of your, a double portion of your blessings, and then we would be willing to live spiritual tenacity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.